The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. The story of the rich young man is one of the greatest stories in all the Gospels, because his story is our story. There are three different versions of this story. One's in Matthew, one's in Mark, one's in Luke. You need to read them all to get the full picture. This is just Matthew's version. But his story is our story because, you know, he goes to Jesus, he says, "What do I have to do to gain eternal life?" But the fact is, he wants more than just eternal life. He wants more out of life, just like you do. And he wants more out of religion than just to execute ceremonies in God's name and hope for the best, just like you do. His story is our story, but his flaw is our flaw. Pope John Paul II used the story of the rich young man to write an encyclical letter about morality in 1993. It was called Veritatis Splendor. And the whole premise of it was that the more that you want, you can have. Because God is the something more. It's God who you're looking for. "Why do you ask me about the good?" Jesus says. "There's only one who's good. God is who you're looking for, but you do have to keep his commandments." And it's that change that we don't want to make. It's that change that he didn't want to make. You know, he went to Jesus as if he was going to be a teacher. "Teacher, can you teach me something more?" And he wants anything except to change his heart. Just like you and me. Just like you and me. How often do we imagine to ourselves, "If I could just read one more spiritual book, if I can just listen to one more podcast, if I can just go on one more retreat, I'm sure that'll be enough." When in fact what's needed is the thing that we're stingy about. Our entire political system is based on this flaw that all we need to do is change the externals. Nobody needs to actually change their behavior. Right? Just get the right combination of laws, and I guarantee you we will create heaven on earth, and nobody actually needs to change the way they live. This was his flaw. The entire Christian religion and all of God's commandments are an expression of the true meaning of love. And all of them come down to this very challenging fact. Love never can give enough. It gives all that it has. See, the rich young man, he knew enough. He just wouldn't do enough. And so he says to Jesus, "No." And he walks away sad. And we see that, you know, we think, "Oh, what a lost opportunity. Jesus was letting him in on the ground floor. I certainly wouldn't have said no. What a lost opportunity." Fact of the matter is, you have that exact same opportunity every single day. And often we say no as well. One of my favorite stories of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she said that every time I see one of my sisters sad, I know that somewhere they're saying no to Jesus. There's a lot of causes of sadness in this world, don't get me wrong. There's tragedy, There's corruption, there's the collective weight of sin and everything that everyone has done down through the ages. There's just raw human malice. But the one most overlooked cause of sadness is the cause that's self-inflicted, when we insist on getting our own way. And you want to know something? Money makes it possible. It's no accident that this is the story of the rich young man and not the poor young man. Because I tell you, money is funny. I've preached on this before. Money is funny. It's the one thing Jesus says you cannot give your heart to. He says you will not love God and money. You're going to serve one, or you're going to serve the other. And he doesn't say that about anything else in life. And that's because God and money both compete for the exact same spot in your heart. There's only one spot. It's the place of love and the place of trust. St. Paul says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, don't misunderstand. People hear that and they think, yeah, church says money's evil, but they keep asking for money. No. You use it like an instrument, right? You need money to pay the bills. So do you. Somebody's got to keep the lights running. It's not money that's the problem. It's the love of it. What do you dedicate your heart to? There's a reason why this is the story of the rich young man. And you know something fascinating? Thomas Aquinas says it's rarer for a soul to give away their possessions in generosity than it is for somebody who's deeply sinful to have a conversion of heart and turn to God. Rarer for somebody who's got a lot to give it away. And that's how tight the grip this has on the rich young man's heart and on yours. So you want to know what God does? Here's something to be aware of. Slowly all across the course of your life, God takes stuff away, doesn't he? Sometimes small, sometimes big. Sometimes he takes away things. Sometimes he takes away people. Sometimes he takes away opportunities. God takes stuff away. Why? Because it's easier to cling to God when you're not clinging to the things of this world. And every time he takes something away, it's an opportunity. Just like the rich young man had. It's easier to cling to God when he takes stuff out of your life. We need to learn to see them as opportunities to grow closer to the Lord. That's the message we take away from the rich young man. Priests can preach this till he's blue in the face. Very few people are going to go out there and give away everything in their bank account. Might go live on the street. Very few. But if you can learn to see the many times in which God comes into your life and takes things away, and if you can learn to see them as blessings in disguise, bless the name of the Lord and draw closer to him, you'll be very wise. If you want to be truly rich, set your heart on what's truly valuable. And may what our Lord says in the Beatitudes be true for each one of us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.